Chapter 3. The Secret of Boffo. It is not good being in a sandwich of bewildered dancers. They were heavy men. Tiffany was aching all over. She was covered in bruises, including one the shape of a boot that she wasn't going to show to anyone. Feagles filled every flat surface in Miss Treason's weaving room. She was working at her loom with her back to the room because, she said, this helped her think. But since she was Miss Treason, her position didn't matter much. There were plenty of eyes and ears she could use after all. The fire burned hot, and there were candles everywhere, black ones, of course. Tiffany was angry. Miss Treason hadn't shouted, hadn't even raised her voice. She'd just sighed and said, "Foolish child," which was a whole lot worse, mostly because that's just what Tiffany knew she'd been. One of the dancers had helped bring her back to the cottage. She couldn't remember anything about that at all. A witch didn't do things because they seemed a good idea at the time. That was practically cackling. You had to deal every day with people who were foolish and lazy and untruthful and downright unpleasant. And you could certainly end up thinking that the world would be considerably improved if you gave them a slap. But you didn't because, as Miss Tick had once explained, A, it would make the world a better place for only a very short time, B, it would then make the world a slightly worse place, and C, you're not supposed to be as stupid as they are. Her feet had moved, and she'd listened to them. She ought to have been listening to her head. Now she had to sit by Miss Treason's fire with a tin hot water bottle on her lap and a shawl around her. "So the Wintersmith is a kind of god," she said.
"That kind of thing, yes," said Billy Big Chin. "But not the praying to kind of god. He just makes winters. It's his job, you can."
"He's an elemental," said Miss Treason from her loom.
"Aye," said Rob Anybody. "Gods, elementals, demons, spirits. Sometimes it's hard to tell them apart with you to map."
"And the dance is to welcome winter," said Tiffany. "That doesn't make sense. The Morris dance is to welcome the coming of the summer.
Yes, that's..."
"Are you an infant?" said Miss Treason. "The year is round. The wheel of the world must spin. That is why up here they dance the dark Morris to balance it. They welcome the winter because of the new summer deep inside it."
Click, clack, went the loom. Miss Treason was weaving a new cloth of brown wool.
"Well, all right," said Tiffany. "We welcomed it. Him. That doesn't mean he's supposed to come looking for me."
"Why did you join the dance?" Miss Treason demanded.
There was a space and..."
"Yes, a space. A space not intended for you. Not for you, foolish child. You danced with him, and now he wants to meet such a bold girl. I have never heard of such a thing. I want you to fetch the third book from the right on the second shelf from the top of my bookcase."
She handed Tiffany a heavy black key.
"Can you manage to do even that?"
Witches didn't need to slap the stupid, not when they had a sharp tongue that was always ready. Miss Treason also had several shelves of books, which was unusual for one of the older witches. The shelves were high up, the books looked big and heavy, and up until now Miss Treason had forbidden Tiffany to dust them, let alone unlock the big black iron band that secured them to the shelves. People who came here always gave them a nervous look. Books were dangerous. Tiffany unlocked the bands and wiped away the dust. Ah. The books were, like Miss Treason, not everything they seemed. They looked like magic books, but they had names like An Encyclopedia of Soup. There was a dictionary. Next to it, the book Miss Treason had asked for was covered in cobwebs. Still blushing with shame and anger, Tiffany got the book down, fighting to get it free of the webs. Some of them went pling as they snapped, and dust fell off the top of the pages. When she opened it, it smelled old and parchmenty, like Miss Treason. The title, in gold lettering that had almost rubbed away, was Chaffinch's Ancient and Classical Mythology. It was full of bookmarks.
"Pages 18 and 19, said Miss Treason, her head not moving.
Tiffany turned to them.
"The Dacne of the Sneesos," she said. "Is that supposed to be the Dance of the Seasons?"
"Regrettably, the artist, Don Weisender Yo-Yo, whose famous masterpiece that was, did not have the same talent with letters as he had with painting," said Miss Treason. "They wooded him for some reason. I notice you mentioned the words before the pictures. You are a bookish child."
The picture was strange. It showed two figures. Tiffany hadn't seen masquerade costumes. There wasn't the money at home for that sort of thing, but she'd read about them, and this was pretty much what she'd imagined. The page showed a man and a woman, or at least things that looked like a man and a woman. The woman was labelled Summer, and was tall and blonde and beautiful, and therefore, to the short, brown-haired Tiffany, was a figure of immediate distrust. She was carrying what looked like a big basket shaped like a shell, which was full of fruit. The man, Winter, was old and bent and grey. Icicles glittered on his beard.
"Ach, that's what the Wintersmith would look like, sure enough," said Rob Anybody, strolling across the page. "All frosty."
"Him?" said Tiffany. "That's the Wintersmith. He looks 100 years old.
"A youngster, eh?"
said Miss Treason nastily.
"Dinna let him kiss ye, or your nose might turn blue and fall off," said Daft Woolly cheerfully.
"Daft Woolly, don't you dare say things like that," said Tiffany.
"I was just trying to lighten the mood, you ken," said Woolly, looking sheepish.
"That's an artist's impression, of course," said Miss Treason.
"What does that mean?" said Tiffany, staring at the picture. It was wrong. She knew it. This wasn't what he was like at all.
"It means he made it up," said Billy Big Chin. "He wouldn't ha' seen him new, would he? No one's seen the Wintersmith."
"Yet," said Daft Woolly.
"Woolly," said Rob Anybody, turning to his brother, "ye ken I told ye about making tactful remarks."
"Aye, Rob, I ken weel," said Woolly obediently.
"What ye just said was not one of them," said Rob.
Woolly hung his head.
"Sorry, Rob."
Tiffany clenched her fists.
"I didn't mean all this to happen."
Miss Treason turned her chair with some solemnity.
"Then what did you mean? Will you tell me? Did you dance out of youth's inclination to disobey old age?"
"To mean is to think. Did you think at all? Others have joined in the dance before now. Children, drunkards, youths for the silly bet. Nothing happened. The spring and autumn dances are just an old tradition, most people would say. Just a way of marking when ice and fire exchange their dominion over the world. Some of us think we know better. We think something happens. For you, the dance became real, and something has happened. And now the Wintersmith is seeking you."
"Why?" Tiffany managed.
"I don't know. When you were dancing, did you see anything, hear anything?"
How could you describe the feeling of being everywhere and everything? Tiffany wondered. She didn't try.
"I thought I heard a voice, or maybe two voices," she mumbled. "They asked me who I was."
"Interesting," said Miss Treason. "Two voices. I will consider the implications. What I can't understand is how he found you. I will think about that. In the meantime, I expect it would be a good idea to wear warm clothing."
"Aye," said Rob Anybody. "The Wintersmith cannot abide the heat. Oh, I'll be forgetting my ain head next. We brought a wee letter from that hollow tree down in the forest. Gie it to the big wee hag, Woolly. We picked it up on the way past."
"A letter?" said Tiffany, as the loom clacked behind her and Daft Woolly began to pull a grubby, rolled-up envelope from his spog.
"It's from that wee heap of jobbies at the castle back hame," Rob went on as his brother hauled. "He says he bides fine and hopes you do likewise, and he's looking forward to you being back hame soon, and there's lots of stuff about how the sheeps are doing, and such like. No very interesting, in my opinion. And he's writ S-W-A-L-K on the bottom, but we have no worked out what that means yet."
"You read my letter?" said Tiffany in horror.
"Why?" said Rob with pride. "Nay problem. Billy Bigchin here gives me a wee hint with some of the longer words, but it was mostly me, aye."
He beamed, but the grin faded as he watched Tiffany's expression.
"Ach, I ken you're a wee bitty upset that we opened yon envelope thingy," he explained. "But that's okay, 'cause we glued it up again with slug. You wouldna ever know it had been read."
He coughed, because Tiffany was still glaring at him. All women were a bit scary to the Feagles, and witches were the worst. At last, when he was really nervous, Tiffany said, "How did you know where that letter would be?" She glanced sideways at Daft Woolly. He was chewing the edge of his kilt. He only ever did this when he was frightened.
Would you accept a wee bitty lie?" Rob said.
"No."
"It's interesting. There's dragons and unicorns in it. No, I want the truth."
"Ach, it's so boring. We go to the Baron's castle and read the letters you sent him, and
And you said the postman knows to leave letters to you in the hollow tree by the waterfall, said Rob.
If the wintersmith had got into the cottage, the air couldn't have been any colder.
He keeps the letters for ye in a box under his, Rob began, and then shut his eyes as Tiffany's patience parted with a twang even louder than Miss Treason's strange cobwebs.
Don't you know it's wrong to read other people's letters? She demanded.
Rob
anybody began. And you broke into the Baron's cast...
No, said Rob, jumping up and down. You cannot get us on that one. We just walked in through one of them little wee slits for the firing of the arrows.
And then you read my personal letters sent personally to Roland, said Tiffany.
They were personal.
Why? Said Rob anybody.
But dinna fash yoursel. We will not tell anyone what was in them.
We ne'er tell a soul what's in your diary after all, said Daft Willie. Not e'en the bits with the flowers you draw around them.
Miss Treason is grinning to herself behind me, Tiffany thought. I just know she is. But she'd run out of nasty tones of voice. You did that after talking to the Feagles for any length of time. You were their kelder, her second thoughts reminded her. They think they have a solemn duty to protect you. It doesn't matter what you think. They're going to make your life so complicated.
Don't read my letters, she said. And don't read my diary either.
Okay,
said Rob anybody. Promise?
Why?
But you promised last time.
Why?
Cross your heart and hope to die?
Why, nay problemo.
And that's the promise of an untrustworthy, lying, stealing feagle, is it? Said Miss Treason. Because you believe your deed already, do you know? That's what your people think, right?
Why, mistress,
said Rob anybody.
Thank you for drawing my attention to that.
In fact, Rob anybody, you ha' nae intention of keeping any promise at all.
Aye, mistress, said Rob proudly. Not pure wee weak promises like that, because, you see, 'tis our solemn destiny to guard the big wee hag. We must lead doon our lies for her if it comes to it.
How can you do that when you're deed already?
Said Miss Treason sharply.
That's a bit of a puzzler, right enough, said Rob. So probably we'll lay doon the lives of any scunners who do wrong by her.
Tiffany gave up and sighed.
I'm almost 13, she said. I can look after myself.
Hark at Miss Self-Reliant, said Miss Treason, but not in a particularly nasty way. Against the wintersmith.
What does he want? Said Tiffany.
I told you. Perhaps he wants to find out what kind of girl was so forward as to dance with him, said Miss Treason.
It was my feet. I said I didn't mean to. Miss Treason turned around in her chair. How many eyes is she using? Tiffany's second thoughts wondered. The Feagles? The ravens? The mice? All of them? How many of me is she seeing? Is she watching me with mice or insects with dozens of glittery eyes?
Oh, that's all right, then, said Miss Treason. Once again, you didn't mean it. A witch takes responsibility. Have you learned nothing, child?
Child. That was a terrible thing to say to anyone who was almost 13. Tiffany felt herself going red again. The horrible hotness spread inside her head. That was why she walked across the room, opened the front door, and stepped outside. A fluffy snow was falling very gently. When Tiffany looked into the pale grey sky, she saw the flakes drifting down in soft, feathery clusters. It was the kind of snow that people back home on the chalk called Granny Aching Shearing Her Sheep. Tiffany felt the flakes melting on her hair as she walked away from the cottage. Miss Treason was shouting from the doorway, but she walked on, letting the snow cool her blushes. Of course, this is stupid, she told herself. But being a witch is stupid. Why do we do it? It's hard work for not much reward. What's a good day for Miss Treason? When someone brings her a second-hand pair of old boots that fit properly. What does she know about anything? Where is the wintersmith, then? Is he here? I've only got Miss Treason's word for it. That and a made-up picture in a book.
Wintersmith! She shouted.
You could hear the snow falling. It made a strange little noise, like a faint, cold sizzle.
Wintersmith!
There was no reply. Well, what had she expected? A big booming voice? Mr. Spikey, the icicle man? There was nothing but the softness of white snow falling patiently among dark trees. She felt a bit silly now, but satisfied too. This was what a witch did. She faced what she was afraid of, and then it held no more fear. She was good at this. She turned
and saw the Wintersmith. "Remember this," said her third thoughts, cutting in. "Every little detail is important." The Wintersmith was nothing, but the snow outlined him. It flowed around him in lines, as if travelling on an invisible skin. He was just a shape and nothing more, except perhaps for two tiny, pale, purple-grey dots in the air, where you might expect to find eyes. Tiffany stood still, her mind frozen, her body waiting to be told what to do. The hand made of falling snow was reaching toward her now, but very slowly, as you would reach out toward an animal you do not want to frighten. There was something, some strange sense of things unsaid because there was no voice to say them. A sense of striving, as if the thing were putting heart and soul into this moment, even if it did not know the meaning of heart or soul. The hand stopped about a foot away from her. It was formed into a fist, and now it turned over and the fingers opened. Something gleamed. It was the white horse made of silver on a fine silver chain. Tiffany's hand flew to her throat. But she'd had it on last night, before she went to watch the dance. It must have come off, and he'd found it. "That's interesting," said her third thoughts, that busied themselves with the world in their own way. "You can't see what's hidden inside an invisible fist. How does that work? And why are those little purple-grey blurs in the air where you'd expect to find eyes? Why aren't they invisible?" That's third thoughts for you. When a huge rock is going to land on your head, they're the thoughts that think, is that an igneous rock such as granite, or is it sandstone? That part of Tiffany's brain that was a little less precise at the moment watched the silver horse dangle on its chain. Her first thought was, take it. Her second thought was, don't take it, it's a trap. Her third thought was, really don't take it, it will be colder than you can imagine. And then the rest of her overruled the thoughts entirely and said, take it, it's part of who you are, take it. When you hold it, you think of home. Take it. She held out her right hand. The horse dropped into it. Instinctively, she closed her fingers over it. It was, indeed, colder than she could have imagined, and it burned. She screamed. The Wintersmith's snowy outline became a flurry of flakes. The snow around her feet erupted with a cry of Crivens, as a mass of Feagles grabbed her feet and carried her upright across the clearing and back in through the cottage's doorway. Tiffany forced her hand open, and with trembling fingers, pulled the silver horse off her palm. It left a perfect print, a white horse on pink flesh. It wasn't a burn, it was a freeze. Miss Treason's chair rumbled around on its wheels.
"Come here, child," she ordered.
Still clasping her hand, trying to force back the tears, Tiffany walked over to her.
"Stand right here by my chair this instant."
Tiffany did so. This was no time to be disobedient.
"I wish to look in your ear," said Miss Treason. "Brush your hair aside."
Tiffany held back her hair and winced when she heard the tickle of mouse whiskers. Then the creature was taken away.
"Ah, I am surprised," said Miss Treason. "I can see nothing."
"What were you expecting to see?" Tiffany ventured.
"Daylight," snapped Miss Treason, so loudly that the mouse scuttled away. "Have you no brains at all, child?"
"I don't know if anyone is interested," said Rob Anybody, "but I think yon Wintersmith has off-skied, and it's stopped snowing."
No one was listening. When witches row, they concentrate.
"It was mine."
"A trinket?"
"No."
"Of course, this may not be the best time to tell you," Rob went on miserably.
"You think you need it to be a witch?"
"Yes."
"A witch needs no devices."
"You've used shambles."
"Used, yes. Don't need. Not need.
I mean, it's quite melting away," Rob said, smiling nervously.
Anger grabbed Tiffany's tongue. How dare this stupid old crone talk about not needing things?
"Boffo," she shouted. "Boffo, boffo, boffo."
Silence slammed down. After a while, Miss Treason looked past Tiffany and said,
"Ya wee feagle schemies, get out of here, eat nay. I'll ken it if you don't. This is hag business."
The room filled with a sort of whooshing noise, and the door to the kitchen slammed shut.
"So," said Miss Treason, "you know about Boffo, do you?"
"Yes," said Tiffany, breathing heavily, "I do."
"Very well. And have you told anyone?"
Miss Treason paused and raised a finger to her lips. Then she banged a stick on the floor.
I said get out, you scunners! Off into the woods with you! Check that he's really gang awa. I'll see your guilt through your own rain, if you defy me!
From below there was the sound of a lot of potatoes rumbling as the Feagles scrambled out through the little ventilation grill.
"Now they've gone," said Miss Treason. "They'll stay gone, too. Boffall will see to that."
Somehow, in the space of a few seconds, Miss Treason had become more human and a lot less scary. Well, slightly less scary.
"How did you find out? Did you go looking for it? Did you go prowling and rummaging?" said Miss Treason.
"No, I'm not like that. I found out by accident one day when you were having a nap." Tiffany rubbed her hand.
"Does that hurt a lot?" said Miss Treason, leaning forward.
She might be blind, but, like all the senior witches who knew what they were doing, she noticed everything.
"No, not now. It did, though. Look, I—" "Then you will learn to listen. Do you think the Wintersmith has gone?"
"He just seemed to vanish. I mean, vanish even more. I think he just wanted to give me back my necklace."
"Do you think that is the sort of thing the Spirit of Winter, who commands the blizzard and the frost, would really do?"
"I don't know, Miss Treason. He's the only one I've ever met."
"You danced with him?"
"I didn't know I was going to."
"Nevertheless."
Tiffany waited, and then said, "Nevertheless what?"
"Just general nevertheless-ness. The little horse led him to you, but he's not here now, you're right about that. I'd know if he was."
Tiffany walked up to the front door, hesitated for just a moment, and then opened it and went out into the clearing. There was a bit of snow here and there, but the day was turning into just another one of those grey-skied winter days. "I'd know if he was too," she thought, "and he isn't." And her second thought said, "Oh, how do you know?" "We've both touched the horse," she said under her breath. She looked around at the empty branches and the sleeping trees, fiddling with the silver chain in her hand. The forests were curling in on themselves, ready for the winter. "He's out there, but not close. He must be very busy, with a whole winter to make." She said, "Thank you," automatically, because her mother had always said that politeness costs nothing, and went back in. It was very hot inside now, but Miss Treason always had a huge log pile built by the Secret of Boffo. The local woodcutters always kept the pile high. A chilly witch might get nasty.
"I should like a cup of black tea," said the old woman as Tiffany walked in, looking thoughtful.
She waited until Tiffany was washing out the cup, then said,
"Have you heard the stories about me, child?"
The voice was kindly. There had been shouts, there had been things said that might have been better put, there had been temper and defiance. But they were there together, with nowhere else to go. The quiet voice was a peace offering, and Tiffany was glad of it.
"That you have a demon in the cellar?" Tiffany answered, her mind still full of puzzles. "And you eat spiders? And get visited by kings and princes? And that any flower planted in your garden blooms black?"
"Oh, did they say so?" said Miss Treason, looking delighted. "I haven't heard that last one. How nice! And did you hear that I walk around at night in the dark time of the year and reward those who've been good citizens with a purse of silver? But if they've been bad, I slit open their bellies with my thumbnail, like this."
Tiffany leapt backward as a wrinkled hand twisted her around and Miss Treason's yellow thumbnail scythed past her stomach. The old woman looked terrifying.
"No, no, I haven't heard that one," she gasped, pressing up against the sink.
"What? And it was a wonderful story, with real historical antecedents," said Miss Treason, her vicious scowl becoming a smile. "And the one about me having a cow's tail?"
"A cow's tail? No.
Really? How very vexing," said Miss Treason, lowering her finger. "I fear the art of storytelling has got into a pretty bad way in these parts. I really shall have to do something."
"This is just another kind of boffo, right?" said Tiffany. She wasn't totally sure. Miss Treason had looked pretty scary with that thumbnail. No wonder girls left so quickly.
"Ah, you do have a brain, after all. Of course it is. Boffo, yes. A good name for it. Boffo, indeed. The art of expectations. Show people what they want to see. Show them what they think should be there. I have a reputation to keep up, after all."